You might like to turn in your Bible to Psalm 18, if you would. We want to thank the number of men that have helped each snow time in all different areas, especially for the crew that has worked so hard to try to cut down the banks at the entrance so you could see. That isn't perfectly done, but it's better than many. And you can see, but drive carefully when you go out. And we have been given the privilege of having large barriers out there so that the cars that are facing that could go off the edge, they can't. And we have great white barriers to protect. And I don't know that we could keep them, but we may get more, that we could build them. You see. So, our Father and God, we look to you to set apart your word. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Now we share together in the high places. God has done, as we started the year, at least to remind ourselves, that God has made it so that the believing believer can enjoy the high places that God has for them. And they can join the high places because the Most High God has given them. And not only that, but the world's high places. Pride builds all kinds of monuments and philosophies and agendas and all kinds of things to look to support them, for them to honor. And all of their high places, which pride builds in opposition to God, all of those high places, the believing believer is able to walk upon them. And not to be captured by them, not to be consumed by them, but to be able to be a conqueror, to be a winner, to truly, to say it simply, to truly represent God as a believer in the only wise God, to represent him. And those high places are meant to be had. And we share together as believers in the church age here, to remind ourselves that we read it in 2 Corinthians 4:1, you don't have to turn there. We faint not, we do not retreat, we do not draw back, we do not change our allegiance. We are, and the word faint is faint-hearted or coward, to be a coward, to retreat. We faint not. God, is it really possible for us to have all that you have for us? Is it really believable? Is it really real? Yes, it is. But you're going to have to go against great opponent, obstacle, opposition. You're going to have to go against it because no one else is going to honor it, generally speaking. So therefore, we looked and we shared together that we ought to be claiming the heights. And we have a particular position that we have as believers. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. We're seated there so that we can stand here, so that we can withstand here, so that we can understand here while we're there. Now, David, as we looked at, let me just remind you here in Psalm 18, David, you did, Israel as a nation did not experience the high places that God had given them. Happy would be Israel if they did, but they didn't. Psalm 18, David picking up, please, right in the verse 31. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Verse 33, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. God has a wonderful plan and purpose for your life. And to be able to do it, and remember hinds, the little deer bouncing up there on all those little rocks, sharp rocks and jagged rocks and uneven rocks, and they just don't, they go from rock to rock without falling down, without missing a step, without stumbling. To be able to do that, to be able to go in the difficult, hard, dangerous world, and to be able to go like that. Now, David, that's what you had. David said, thank God for that. Now, in order to capitalize on that, over, if you would, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And it's a David, this is David now, David going through all kinds of the thick and thin of life, and he's able to say something to us about his journey. And I'll read it, but I'm going to just cover a part of it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't worry, and I don't wander. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, waters of rest. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So we want to go in the high places, like a hind, little deer up there, and God has given them to Israel if they'd take them. God has given something more wonderful to us if we take it. And thus, in the end of verse 3, in paths, in wagon ruts, just think of a carriage rolling in the ground over and over again, and the path would be there, the path, the wagon ruts, and the track, like railroad tracks, the tracks are set. So as you go, the tracks are ahead of you. You don't have to make them. You don't have to wonder about them. There they are, the tracks. In verse 3, the paths of righteousness. Now, we want, you want, everyone wants, usually, in some form. It is very rare to have someone to want things to come out wrong. Most people want things to come out right. They want it to work out. They want things to be right for them, right, so they'd have it right. What you're doing and what you're thinking and your job and your home and your work and your health and the children and the family and the marriage, you want it to work right. And that's right to want it to work right. But to make it work right, how do we do that? How do we do this? Humans, we do it, we have. And what do humans do? Well, we have expectation, hope, and we have a rightness that we try to base on our calculations. We calculate about things, work, home, health, family, friends, everything, enemies. And we work. We calculate, maneuver, manage our mind, and we do it. And not only do we calculate, we make assumptions. We assume a whole lot. We assume something and something and something and something. And we make assumptions. And our calculation, between our calculations and our assumptions, we're moving, hoping things will come out right. They're all ours. And God, that is very, for us, for a human, that puts us in great jeopardy because we have no idea. We're going down a corridor, we're going down the tunnel, and the tunnel is dark. There's no light. Light's here, but no light, no sunlight. And we're hoping that as we go down the caverns and the corridors of the world, of life, of time, that somehow in the darkness we're headed in the right direction where light is going to be. But you know more often than not, unfortunately, from a human standpoint, it doesn't come out right. When we go down the corridor, when we're in the dark, we're trying to manage our way down the track, and it doesn't come out for us. It doesn't come out right. We hoped it did, but it didn't. Do you know how many people, a lot of people die? They die and they hope everything come out right. Of all the things that you hope comes out right, is that your exodus out of time. You hope that comes out right, I would think. And in order to have that hope, I need to have hope now so that I am ready. I'm already there. I'm already way ahead of where I'm headed because I'm expecting and I know how to make it come out right. David, do you know that? Yes. Verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Name's sake on account of, because of, because of who he is. He's going to do what he does. Why is he going to do it? Because he's God. God has to be God. God acts like God. God thinks like God. God does like God. And in the light of that, the paths of righteousness, they're right, right paths, right. All that God does, shall not the judge, Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Thinks right, comes out right, does right. God, can you do wrong? No, I can't do wrong. God, if you're going to lead me, and I want to go in those high places you told me I'm supposed to run and win and go, then, God, you're going to have to do it because my feet aren't going to be like a little deer. And I don't know how to get the high places. I understand the world around me, but I can't compete. I can't fix it. It has me. I'm in the middle of it. I'm caught in it. God, how am I going to get there? How's this going to happen? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is going to lead me. Going to lead me. As a shepherd leads a sheep. God, you're going to lead me. That's right. And, in the process, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, David, you just said you have hind's feet and you climb the heights. You're a conqueror. You're a winner. You're positive. You have a positive approach to all that is negative. It's all negative, and that's how you get positive, you know. You become a biblical optimist by becoming a biblical realist. Real. What's real? And when you see the reality, there's the other side. On the other side is the reality of God and all the good things that God would do for the believing heart. Thus, yea, though I walk, even though I am walking, I am in the presence of walking. What are you doing? What are these high places, David? Well, I'm in the valley. I'm in the alley, going down the alley, the wagon ruts of righteousness. I'm on the right track. I'm looking to God. I shall not want. He leadeth me. Not because of me. I don't merit it. I don't deserve it. He's doing it for his name's sake, because of who he is. And thus I'm going, and thus I'm in the valley. I'm in the valley, but I'm on the high places. I have hind's feet. Though I am walking, recognizing my condition, recognizing my situation, recognizing my state of where I am. I'm realistic. I see the world. I know the world. You remember David, king, marvelous king. God's choice. But remember, Israel wasn't happy with David. They were glad when David went. They were glad. There's a remnant that liked David. There's a remnant that liked Moses. But they don't. No. Because they're, why? You're taking me down a road. I don't want to get, what about all these other ways? These other roads? These other things in my life that I'm going to pursue? And I'm hoping in my gut that they'll come out right. They'll come out good. But you don't know that at all. Not at all. Thus, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I am walking, living, to walk, to grow as a plant, to flow as a river, I'm going to walk and move. I'm going to move and And I'm in it. Yea, though I am walking through the valley of darkness, obscurity is dark. Deep darkness is the word. Deep darkness. Pitch black. Not just dark, not just shadow. Dark. The shadow of death. Death, dark. Wow, I can't see the other side. I'm alive physically. I don't know the other side. I can't see it. I can't feel it. I can't smell it. I can't touch it. You're right. Dark. He leadeth me in his paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, over if you would, please, to Psalm 107. In Psalm 107, listing the great illustrating, God illustrating all the different rescues that he does. He rescues them in the desert. He rescues them all over the place. And he lists 1, 2, 3, 4, where God rescued Israel. Thus, he is one of them. And remember verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord. For why? For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Skipping down, if I can, to verse 9. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, like dungeon, prison, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness, out of the shadow of death, and brake their bands in asunder. Oh, the request! Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Why? Verse 16, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in asunder. God, you're able to rescue us from the dark pit, dungeon, deep. Yeah, that's right, God said. You got to have your heart right. You got to want to go down the right path. You don't want to pick one any old way you want. No, any old way leads to God. That is not true. There's only one way, the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the only way. There is no other way. I'm very narrow, very limited. I do not tolerate, God does not tolerate any other way. He can't. And thus, Jeremiah chapter 13, that God, are you able to rescue? Absolutely. In Jeremiah chapter 13, picking up the thought, darkness. Israel's going into captivity in Jeremiah's day. Chapter 13, verse 15. Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, before he cause darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turned it into the shadow of death, and make it gross darkness. Don't you understand? If you go another way, there's no way it's going to come out right. It can only come out right on God's wagon ruts of righteousness. And it ain't going to come out any other way. So all the other ways and all the other thoughts and all the other agendas and all the philosophies, and you can put them on a big pile and read them and study them and spend your life in them. But you aren't going to come out right. You just aren't going to come out right. It doesn't pay. Thus, verse 17, "But ye shall not, but if you will not hear what I'm telling you," said God, "my soul shall weep in secret places." Why? "For your pride. Your pride ruins you. And mine eye shall reap sore and run down with tears." Why? "Because the Lord's flock is carried away captive, and God leads them into captivity." They said, "We're never going into captivity. We're going down the corridor of time. We're going down the alley, and it's going to come out right." Wrong. It came out terribly wrong. It is still wrong today. God is going to make it right, but it's wrong. And Israel is in a difficult place, even at the moment, to say the least. Thus, God, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I'm with me. So I'm in the high places. But don't high places mean pleasure? Like, is it Pinocchio? Pleasure Island? Is that where? Was it with Pinocchio? Didn't he go to Pleasure Island? We have some. Anyway, here's Pleasure Island up there. Wow! Why can't we just high places, become a believer? Oh, Pleasure Island! You know, everyone who loved me and everyone who gets saved and loved me, and we'll have Christian orange juice and Christian ice cream and Christian lobsters and wow! No. Hinds feet for the high places in your life. In the high places, you're going to walk them, live them in the valley. In the valley are where the high places are. That's where you're going to win. You aren't going to go up in the mountaintop. You're going to go in the valley. And you're going to walk. And you're going to walk and win. We'll pick it up tonight on the other part of that. Wow. Now, over. In Psalm 23 and in verse 4, the shadow of death. Awesome death. Why? God, help us. Why do we have to go through this? Because it's the way it is. The world is in darkness. You know from 1 John and John and all the John 3 and that. Men love darkness rather than light because why? Their deeds are evil. Men do, Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 9:11. Truth. God, they don't love the truth. And they don't want to be saved. Simple. They don't want to be saved. And they aren't. They aren't. So, God, how come? Well, this is where you're at. God saves us out of the system, out of this present evil world. And God does a wonderful thing for us. He leaves us in it to represent him in a wonderful way. To be able to tell the truth of God by way of the God of truth. The God of truth making it possible to tell the truth about God by his word. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, go over with me, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And just to remind you, in the light of the high places and myself, in Romans 8, picking up that which you know, you can quote it. Romans 8:31, great chapter on having hinds feet. What shall we then say to these things? Verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Here we are in that valley. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we should get clobbered. We should get clobbered by them. They should put us out of business. But on the contrary, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God loving us and giving us the way out, the way in, the way down the road to leadeth in paths of righteousness daily. And so whatever you do, eat, drink, or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God so that you can go down the road and come out all right. In all these things, we are more than conquerors, to conquer, present tense, to have victory beyond measure, a surpassing victory, surpassing over, above, and beyond. All, there's no such thing. Alexander the Great was wonderful in power. Napoleon, the power. But no one in history is able to conquer like the believer who conquers everything, who goes in the high places, in the dark, dark, dreary, dismal world, walking in it, living in it. Living, walking, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, work, home, school, play, snow, shovel, back and forth. Living in it. Wow. More than a conqueror. That's right. Back over to Psalm 23. And in Psalm 23, if I may, verse 4, yea, though I walk, I'm walking, present tense, as it were, I'm walking in the valley, in the shadow of death, I will fear no what? No evil. I'm not going to be afraid of evil. And the word afraid means to tremble, to quake, to be faint-hearted, like a coward, like in 2 Corinthians 4:1. We faint not. We are not cowards. We're not going to retreat. We aren't going to do it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I am not going to retreat. I'm not going to be a coward. And evil, remember, evil. So when you say, what is evil? Evil, the Hebrew word evil, expresses what is unhealthy, what is not good. No good benefit from it. No good purpose. It in its internalness, good. It is unfit. It is unhealthy. And on its external, it's injurious. It injures us. It harms us. So evil, inside, no good. Outside, no good. Evil. I will fear no evil at all. None. I'm not going to be afraid. Now, over to Isaiah chapter 5. Here's evil in its awesomeness and its fullness. So you don't want to think of you what is bad. That which is unhealthy, it isn't whole, it isn't complete, it isn't good, it isn't perfect. And thus, in Isaiah chapter 5, and reminding you again and myself, in chapter 5, verse 20, woe, now what makes the problem? You see, if people would tag, but they tag evil in a funny way. That's evil out there, but what's in their heart, apart from God, is not evil. So we're trying to escape evil when we are the carriers of it. We're trying to escape the plague. We carry it. Thus, God, we need to be realistic, to be optimistic. Verse 20, chapter 5, Isaiah. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. God, they turn the table upside down, inside out. They do it. Evil. Godlessness. Godlessness makes for evil. Evil is the opposite of life. Evil. Remember, if you spell evil the other way, you have live. L-I-V-E. Evil. It's the opposite of living. To take away, unhealthy, it robs us. I will fear no evil. It's there. It's there and it would be upon me. But I fear it not. Would you go back over with me on your way back to Psalm 112? Now, you're in the valley of believers that you're going to be a conqueror. You're going to climb the high places. But you don't want to think of it as being up on top somewhere where everything is lovely. No, it's down where everything isn't lovely. And thus, in Psalm 112, and picking up, please, Oh, in verse 7, you know, he shall not, picking up quickly, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart, the believer that's looking to God, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He's going to hang in there. He's got all that which would want to rob me of my right as a child of God, my birthright. I was born again, regenerated by God in his grace and mercy. And he took me from being a son of Aaron Parsons and made me a son of God. Made me a son because of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a privilege. That's a privilege. Here we are on earth. We have all our family relationships. But how do you replace that? None. What compares with it? Nothing, nothing. So I have a relationship, God, to you. And the world doesn't want me to enjoy no more than it wanted, the world wanted Jesus Christ to bring joy to the heart of people. They did everything under the sun to keep him from communicating the good news, the gospel. God, you made it possible for us to be a son, to be a child. And the birthright, my right in the valley, that's right, in the valley, behold, thou art now, 1 John 3:1, behold, now are we the sons of God. Beloved, it is a strange thing for you to be loved like that. And the world is not happy, if you're going to be that kind of a believer. They don't mind you going to church and being religious. Just don't be a believer. Don't be real. Don't be real. Play the hypocrite. Be something you aren't. Don't be real. And the world will let you go. But my dear friend, when you're going to look to God, God is going to help us. And thus, in verse, so we're not afraid, our heart is fixed. Now, back over, if you would, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We don't need to be afraid. We're in the valley, and it's going to be like it is. So don't sit there and say, why can't hinds feet and high places and more than a conqueror? Thank God for all things. How are we going to do that, God? That isn't realistic. On the contrary, biblically, it's realistic. It may be unrealistic to you, but it is not unrealistic to God. For instance, God said, be ye holy. Remember, 1 Peter, Leviticus. Be ye holy for what? I am holy. Is God wrong? If you calculate by yourself, impossible. Is God calculating by you or himself? So God said, I expect you to be holy, for I am holy. And you cannot have a relationship to me that does not make you holy. It's required. If I ask it and I say it to you, it is required. Why would you tell us something, God, that we can't have? In my Father's house, John 14, in my Father's house, many abiding places, if it were not so, I would have told you. Why did you tell us? Because it's true. God, why are you doing it? Because it's real. I want you to be in the valley. I want you to be down the alley of righteousness. I want you to go there, and I want you to understand you're more than a conqueror. If I'm for you, who can be against you? Don't be afraid of the evil. Evil's everywhere. Don't say, evil, I'm going to run from the evil. You can't run from the evil. The evil's everywhere. But you can go and walking with me, I'm able to take you down the corridor of time. In the valley of deep darkness, I'm able to take you down the road. And all the evil is there. And they're going to go and say, evil is good and good is evil. And they're going to turn the whole thing upside down. They're going to say, darkness is light and light is darkness. And they're going to turn it all upside down. But I want you to know, you keep it right side up. Good is God. God is good. And walk before me. And like Abraham of old, and be thou single-hearted. Don't let him turn you upside down. Well, you can't. You can't. It's impossible. Baloney. If you don't like that, Livesworth. God gave it to you. It's yours. That's an insult to the grace of God. An insult to the work of Christ when we don't do it. And that's why God will say in Peter, if judgment begins at the house of God, what's it going to be for the rest of the world? I'm going to judge my church. I'm going to judge the believers. They had it, and they didn't do it. For whatever their reasons. Thus, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. As an ally. As a friend, companionship, fellowship, aiding us, coming to our rescue, being on target so that we can go, thou art with me, thou art with me. Moses, how are you going to do it? God is with you, Moses. Joshua, how are you going to do it? Well, God is with you, Joshua. David, how are you going to do it? Well, God is with you, David. God is with you. What are we going to do? What did you tell us, God? What is the last word you said when you gave Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew? Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. I'm with you. Oh, no, I'm with you. What are you afraid for? What are you worried? What are you complaining about? There's the con. Trust me. I know the end. I am the end. I am the end. At the end, I'm me. There's God. Wow. And so we're going down. Thou art with me, with me. Oh, it's so. Psalm 46. You know. Psalm 46, please, in verse 7. A great psalm. Great, great, wonderful psalm, you know. Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And God, you dealt with Jacob, something wonderful. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That's right. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us, repeated. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, how are we going to proceed? Because God, you are with us. And how are we going to go down and ride the high places and win? Because you're with us. You're a winner. We're children, sons. And all the world would eat us up. And all the things of life would consume us. And we keep trying to come out right. We want to do this and come out right and do that right. God, you are the righteousness that we have. We're trusting you. Your righteousness. So God, whatever I got going or not going, whatever I'm doing or not doing, no matter how right or wrong, I'll do my best. But I'm trusting your righteousness, not mine. I'm not going to get hung up with, am I right? I'm going to get hung up, God, are you right? And am I in the path of righteousness because of who you are? Am I in the valley of the shadow of death? Uh-huh. I don't want to be afraid. Evil's everywhere. I'm not going to escape it. You made it so that in you I'm able to be more than a conqueror, and all the evil's there, but it can't eat me up. It can't get me. All the doubt, all the indecision, all the denial, all the danger, it's there. But God, you're there. Thou art with me. Thus, Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thus, in closing, over, if you would, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's power, God's staff, support. He rules in the millennium with a rod of what? Iron. Rod. Power. Support. Authority. That's right. God, how am I going to go? Well, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How do they comfort me? Well, because God said, if you think there's anyone bigger and greater than I am, you are wrong. And when you're trusting me for my will, no one anywhere opposes. They can do all they wish. The devil has tried to sabotage the whole thing. They can't do it. My will, my determination for your life is settled in my Son, Jesus Christ. It's settled for you. That's why you cannot be lost if you're truly saved. You can pay a terrible price in loss, but you cannot lose that relationship. It costs God His Son to have you saved like that. Do you understand? It isn't some cheap thing. God did that. Now, thus. Oh, John, thank you. John, chapter 14, real quick. John 14, in verse 16, 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, like me, as the Lord Jesus, that he may be able to abide with you forever. He's going to abide with you forever, all right? And, going over, if I can, verse 26. But the Comforter, God will say it again, which is the Holy Ghost, a person whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come to you. What do I need to know? Well, the Comforter is going to come to you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And verse 8, when he is come, the Spirit of God, he's going to come and aid you in a wonderful way. He's going to reprove the world, not you, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So here's all the enemy. I'm walking in the valley of the shadow of death. It's all there. That's right. And it's going to come and try to overwhelm you and put you out of business. But it can't. Why not? The Spirit of God will convict every opponent, every opposition, every obstacle, as it were, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You're on the right track for the right reasons to come out in the right way. I don't want to come out in the wrong way. I want to come out in the right way. The right way, God. That's what I want to do. I want to come out right. And only you can do that. Thus, Comforter, Spirit of God, it's your marvelous ministry to comfort me. To comfort me with thy rod and thy staff as I go. Try to live one day at a time, one moment at a time in the valley of darkness. I wish it would get lighter and nicer, but it isn't going to get lighter and nicer. So I'm going to go down that valley, God. I'm going to go and trust you. And I know what? 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. The God, you are the God of all comfort. Every bit of encouragement, every bit of admonishment I need to keep on. I don't want to retreat. I don't want to be a coward. I want to proceed, God. In the valley of the shadow of death, I walk.
God, can I do it? That's my high place. God, it's what you've given me. My particular lot, my body, my house, my home, my time of birth, my age, the world I live in, situation. And God, and then there's you. You'll be with me all the way to the end. That's right. That's right. I've been through the valley of weeping, the valley of sorrow and pain, but the God of all comfort was with me, at hand to uphold and sustain. As the earth needs the clouds and the sunshine, our souls need both sorrow and joy. So he places us oft in the furnace, the dross from the gold to destroy. When he leads through some valley of trouble, his powerful hand we can trace, for the trials and sorrows he sends us are part of his lessons of grace. Oft we shrink from the purging and pruning, forgetting the husbandman knows. The deeper the cutting and paring, the richer the cluster that grows. Well, he knows that affliction is needed. He has a wise purpose in view. And in the dark valley he whispers, "Hereafter thou'll know that I do." As we travel through life's shadowed valley, fresh springs of his love ever rise, and we learn that our sorrows and losses are blessings just sent in disguise. So we'll follow wherever he leadeth, through pathways, though pathways be dreary or bright, for we've proof that our God can give comfort, our God can give songs in the night. And we learn to go, God, impossible, except for you, God. And all of a sudden, it's not hard, God. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with us and thank you for your grace and mercy. Help us to understand. Help us to be able to grasp, be able to allow you to hug us, to be able to move us into your heart. With all of the privileges and all of the benefits and all of the blessings that we don't deserve, God, we don't merit them. It's only because of your great name. It's only because of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, God, we're looking to you. Deal with us. It's a wonderful thing, God, to be on planet Earth with all the snow and all that goes with it. God, thank you that it's all going to come out right. Because we aren't looking for what we wish or want. It isn't our calculations or our assumptions. No, God, it's you and you alone. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that, waiting. And that will have sing one stanza if we can. In closing, thank you for your kindness and trust that God will deal with your heart. If you know not the Lord as your personal Savior, well, we cannot encourage you too much to do just that, to receive him into your heart as Lord and Savior, to save your heart, soul, for his glory and honor, to grant you the privilege of being able to walk with God for sure, for real, for right. So perhaps we could sing, yeah, please, 406. Let's